Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Whitney Point, New York, earned a bachelor's degree in business from Penn State University, and was a member of its 1982 National Championship football team. He joined Quicken Loans in 1993 as a mortgage banker and became its CEO in 2002 while transforming the mortgage industry. Since August of 2020, he's been the vice chairman of Bedrock, and since 2023, he's been the president COO of Rocket Companies. His name, Bill Emerson. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Bill Emerson. We're neighbors.
We are indeed, sir.
Since 2020, he's been vice chairman of Bedrock, amongst many other things. Bill, welcome and honor to have you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please?
Yeah, sure. Born and raised in upstate New York to Bob and Sylvia Emerson. My dad was from Endicott, New York, where IBM started. Mm-hmm. My mom grew up in a town called Silver Creek, New York, which is in the south of Buffalo. They met, I actually think they met teaching. My dad was a gym teacher and a football coach. My mom was a teacher for a while and then was a housewife. But grew up in a small town called Whitney Point, graduated from Whitney Point. I think you indicated that in the opening. You know, small town, lower middle income family. Dad was a high school football coach, had the opportunity to play football with him, but frankly grew up on the football field. I started being a manager of the football team at the age of four, running around causing trouble until I was old enough to actually know what the heck was going on, and then started to enjoy it. And I think about that time often because, you know, I didn't know any better. You just kind of learn and grow up and you see how humans interact with one another and you get to see what a team is all about and how you have to actually count on one another. And football is one of the big, greatest sports you can experience that in. And I remember being, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old and thinking, wow, these juniors and seniors, wow, they're so cool. They're so with it. They're so smart, until I became one. And then I realized that was just a young man being a little confused about what a junior and a senior in high school was.
Well, you went from being the man in Whitney Point to a walk-on at Penn State in 81. And then in 82, you're on the team, Penn State University, under Joe Paterno, mm-hmm. wins the national championship. Talk about Coach Paterno.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I did have the opportunity to walk on at Penn State. Actually, my dad was a grad assistant at Penn State in the late 50s and knew Joe. And so that probably had something to do with the ability to walk on. But, you know, he was exactly what you saw. He was a football coach. He was an incredible manager of practice time. Truly prepared, probably better than any coach I'd ever seen. Practices were by the minute. We didn't run sprints at the end of practice because we were consistently and constantly moving all practice long. And, you know, he was one of those guys that believed in kids going to class. He built a program that was like any other program in college football. He, you know, did a phenomenal job all the time that he was there. And, you know, anybody who holds the record for most victories in college football obviously did something right when it came to the football program.
We're talking to Bill Emerson. Bill, let's go back to January 1st, 1983, 41 years ago. The Sugar Bowl, Penn State against Georgia. Tell us about that night.
Yeah, that was you know, as a sophomore in college, you remember those things. I remember pulling up to the stadium, and it was so foggy as we got off the bus, we couldn't even see the Superdome. Think about that for a second. Couldn't even see it. You know, that was a hell of a team. We lost to Alabama earlier in the year at Alabama. It's the only loss we had. We were fortunate enough to finish the season with that one loss and ranked two. Georgia was ranked one. That was Herschel Walker, his Heisman Trophy year, which is interesting because the year before we played USC at the Fiesta Bowl against Marcus Allen, who was also the Heisman Trophy winner. But that was a great football game, a back and forth football game. You know, we had a phenomenal team, and Todd Blackledge made a toss to Greg Garrity to put us up, and we ultimately won that game and won the national championship. Back in the days when the voters and the press and the coaches got to decide those things.
27-23. Okay, so you come on as a walk-on. But then your senior year, you're a co-captain. That's tall cotton. How did that ever happen?
Well, I learned a long, long time ago, two things really matter in life, attitude and effort. If you have some talent, awesome. That's just a great mix in there. But, I was a decent player at Penn State, but, there was a ton of talent there. And, frankly, I just worked. I worked hard, very hard. I got a scholarship. Let's go back. So as a freshman, I was a walk-on. I played on what was called the foreign team. So I played against the number one defense every single day. And, that was a difficult learning experience. Made the offensive field as a sophomore. Got a scholarship going into my junior year. And then as a senior, Joe had to, every once in a while, he would make a decision to promote someone to captain of the special teams. And that was where I played the most of my time at Penn State. And so he hand-selected me to be a captain of the special teams, thus being a captain of the team. So that's how that all went down.
We're talking to Bill Emerson, talking about Joe Paterno, Penn State University, the Nittany Lions. What is a Nittany Lion?
Nittany Lion is a mountain lion. Just happens to be at the school happens to be at the base of Mount Nittany. So Nittany Lion, Nittany Mountain Lion, that's really what it is. It's as simple as that. Most people don't know it, but that's what it is.
We're talking to Bill Emerson. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the mortgage business 30 years ago. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Bill Emerson. In 1993, Bill, you joined Quicken Loans as a mortgage banker. Talk about the mortgage industry back 30 years ago.
Yeah, so the company was actually Rock Financial at the time that I joined it. Very small company. When I got hired in, we had 25 loan officers in the company and about 100 people. It was a small mortgage company. It had been a mortgage brokerage, but it had received its license to be a mortgage bank, which meant that you could, underwrite and fund your own loans. We were just the typical mortgage company, going to meet with realtors, trying to generate business that way. But early on, Dan was already an innovator. He was advertising mortgages on the radio. And we would show up on Sunday mornings and take phone calls and have an opportunity to be able to interact with consumers that way. It was, in some cases, in a lot of places, similar to what it is today, but not the way that we do business. We decided a long, long time ago that brick and mortar and feet on the street wasn't the right way to really go and scale this business.
You mentioned Dan Gilbert, iconic for this town, for this industry. Tell us one or two things that most of us don't know about Dan Gilbert.
Wow. That's going to be hard. I mean, I think, Dan's been a fairly public individual for quite some time. I remember the early days when, we had 25 loan officers and we would have a sales meeting every week and Dan would run the meeting. When I first joined the company, we had 2 weeks of training and Dan was actually part of the training process. He was just a very hands-on individual and cared deeply about the people in the company and deeply about doing it the right way. He ultimately started thinking differently about how things needed to be done. And I remember when he came to me in 1995 and asked me if I would pilot this program called Mortgage in a Box. And that's how we started to do what you would consider today direct-to-consumer mortgages over the phone, over the internet. It was over the phone at that point. But he just had a unique way of, and I think about this often with Dan, a lot of entrepreneurs are successful at building a company to a certain part, a stage, and they can't take it farther. Dan had the ability to do both, and he had the ability to interact with human beings, remain humble, and make the right decisions that would be best for the people that he was building the team with, as opposed to necessarily what might be best for himself.
You're being a little humble. That mortgage in a box, you were huge in that initiative. And also another thing was the call center concept. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, the call center concept came out of Mortgage in a Box. So, I mean, Mortgage in a Box literally was us taking the mortgage application, which was a four-page document, and turning it into what it was affectionately looked like a coloring book. We turned all of the spaces you had to fill in into a question and answer book. We would talk to a consumer on the phone. If they were interested, we would send them that book in a box. Literally looked like a pizza box. That was Mortgage in a Box. Folks would fill it out. They would mail it back. We'd give them the ability to do so. We would process it, underwrite it, and close it from there. And that was really the beginning of the call center business that we had. It developed, it grew, and it turned into what we then called a web center, because there were still mortgage bankers communicating with consumers over the phone. But a lot of the lead flow started coming to our website, originally called rockloans.com, and then ultimately quickenloans.com after we got purchased by Intuit.
Speaking of which, not many people know that you guys sold the business to Intuit, and then you bought it back, pennies on the dollar, I think. Talk about that in and out.
Yeah, we called it Operation Boomerang, actually. we sold in 1999, end of 99, beginning of 2000. Dan sold the company, Rock Financial, to Intuit. Intuit, as many people will remember, had a software called Quicken. It was a Quicken software. And Quicken had decided that they wanted to do mortgages, and they had a mortgage portal, for lack of a better term. They had 18 different lenders serving their 20 million Quicken customers, and they were doing a terrible job at serving those 20 million consumers. Intuit had a reputation for client service, and they weren't being served, so they went out searching for someone who might be able to do an end-to-end process for them. We had literally built a website about 6 months earlier called rockloans.com and had been in the direct-to-consumer business, so they certainly stumbled across us, and through those conversations with Dan, ultimately decided that we would be the platform they would buy. We spent 2.5 years with Intuit as Quicken Loans. We bought the company back on July 31st, 2002, and the rest is history.
All right, we'd be remiss. Almost 4 years ago, Dan Gilbert had a major stroke at age 57. How's he doing today?
Dan is doing well. I've had the opportunity to spend a lot more time with him over the last 9 to 12 months, given my transition back into the organization as the interim CEO of the public company and now the president and chief operating officer. Ever since the stroke, Dan has been plugged into the business and has been, you know, mentally aware and able to do all the things he needed to do mentally. Physically, he's been working hard to get himself back to a place where he can get around and do what he needs to do. In the last 6-8 months, 2023 let's be honest, was a difficult year because of all the illness and challenges that his son Nick had. And obviously his son Nick passed in May, and that was very, very difficult. And I think, you know, as Dan processed through that and started to come back into the organization again, he came in with an increased vigor and an expectation he was going to do some more work around the company. Just happened to coincide with hiring a new CEO, Varun Krishna, which is the first time we've had a CEO that didn't start in this organization or grow up in this organization. And so I think, Dan has looked at this as an opportunity to get reengaged in the business, even at a higher level. And we have welcomed it with open arms because he's still just an incredible thinker and is really still has the entrepreneurial spirit at heart.
All right. Then in 2007, you guys decide and tell all your people, we're going to move downtown. Tom Wilson will tell you back then, Dick Cheney could hunt for 2 weeks on Woodward and not even hurt anybody. That's Tom Wilson. How and why did you move everybody downtown?
So 2007 is when the conversation started. And we were seriously considering building a building. And in August of 2007, the Great Recession hit. And the entire financial system almost collapsed. So we paused on the idea of coming down and building a building because it just didn't make any financial sense at that particular point in time. But the idea never left us. And Dan had been having conversations with Pete Karmanos about leasing space in what is now One Campus Martius. Was then the comp we were building. And so we decided to do that. And we moved down here in August of 2010, brought about 1,500 people with us. We had many more than that out in the suburbs. And honestly, the real reason for that were twofold. One is Dan was a lifelong supporter of Detroit. His dad had been a small business owner in Detroit. He really cared about the city and wanted to be involved. And two, he saw it as an opportunity to bring the company together because we had locations in Livonia and Troy and Farmington, and we were all over the suburbs. And as he likes to say, one day I was talking to somebody and I was trying to ask them if they wanted to come to work here. And they said, Mr. Gilbert, I don't want to come and work and just look out over an asphalt parking lot. I want to be somewhere where I can, you know, be involved in what's happening around the community. And that was a bellwether moment for him. And so as a result of that, we moved down here. And, you know, I think early on, the folks that came down, they weren't quite sure. What did this mean? What was, you know, what was going on in Detroit? What could we really do? Could we affect the outcome? I never doubted it because I've known Dan a long, long time. And when Dan puts his mind to something, he's going to make the best out of any situation that he can. And you look at it now 13 years later, and a lot of progress has been made. There's still a lot to do. And so, you know, we know we have continued work to do. But, you know, with all of the investment that Dan has made as it relates to commercial real estate, all of the investment we as an organization have made in the city of Detroit, you tell me anybody else that's committed $1 billion of philanthropic money to a city anywhere in America. I can't find one, and that's Dan and Jennifer Gilbert. So the commitment is there, and it's been a hell of a ride for the past dozen plus years being down here in the city of Detroit.
We're talking to Bill Emerson and speaking about commercial real estate in downtown Detroit. When we come back, we're going to talk about a company named Bedrock. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Bill Emerson. If you want to learn more, www.rocketcompanies.com. Rocketcompanies.com. Bill, Bedrock LLC, please.
Well, Bedrock LLC. Bedrock is the commercial real estate arm of Dan Gilbert's family of companies. It is, you know, when we first came down here, we didn't own anything. Dan still had the belief in his head that he wanted to ultimately do something on the Hudson site. But as he would say back then, buildings became available. There was a sale on skyscrapers, and so Dan started to buy up buildings. And, you know, I think we started with the First National building, and then, you know, I've accumulated, I think, at that up to now, probably about 100 different buildings in downtown Detroit. Bedrock does the property management for those buildings, the leasing for those buildings, and of course, Bedrock does its own development because as we have been working since probably 2017 on a refurbishing of One Campus Martius, which is done. The Hudson site, which is in construction, and hopefully will be done here early 25, but I'm not sure on that date. There's a Monroe site that still is to be developed, and then we just recently completed the Book Tower, which if you have not been to the Book Tower, you have to go check it out. It is probably one of the most iconic, cool buildings in this country. The work that we did to restore that back to its original design, the beauty of that building, what is in that building. There's some great restaurants, and some still becoming open. You can rent a long-term stay apartment there. It is just an absolute classic, and one that I think anybody that's involved with the city of Detroit and wants to be downtown should check out.
Bedrock LLC, as you mentioned, 100 properties totaling over 19 million square feet. A lot of people say, well, Jack, they gave them the buildings for free. Friends, the man spent $1 billion fixing those buildings that hadn't been used in 30 years. All right, and then you mentioned the Hudson site.
Mm-hmm.
I think the investment there is about $1.4 billion. Two structures. Tell us what it's going to be when it gets done.
So one thing before I get there. Some of these buildings were purchased, let's say below market, because there was no market in the city of Detroit. But we put a lot of money into them. They had to be fixed up. They hadn't been worked on in forever. And there was no ability to finance a commercial building in downtown Detroit. So we paid cash for all of them. Ultimately, as a result of doing that and building up equity in those properties, we were able to actually start to bring back financing in the city of Detroit that didn't exist. That was directly 100% a result of the work that Dan and Bedrock did to acquire those buildings. I think that's an important thing for people to understand. Hudson's, it's north of 1.4, and I say this often because I think about that building. I think about what it's going to be. I think about the nature of Hudson's and what the site used to be and how important this is to Dan as a legacy to Detroit. And you won't hear many people say this, but I'm not sure there's another person in America that we're building this building right now except for Dan Gilbert. There's no return on this building for Dan. This is all about the legacy for Detroit. This is all about having an iconic building in downtown Detroit. And it is going to be a great building when it's done. There are definitely two sections of the building, the block and the tower. The tower will have a hotel. It will have condos. There will be first floor retail. There will be an event space in the block. It's going to be a really, really cool building when it's done. And hopefully it'll be a place that people will go to as they used to come downtown and go to Hudson's. You know, they'll come down and go to this building if it's Hudson's or whatever it winds up being called once it's done. But it's going to be a fantastic testament to Dan and his will to help this city become the great American city that it once was and take it to new heights as we continue to move forward.
It's still being built out. All right, let's go April 25th, 2024. The first night of the NFL draft, downtown Detroit.
I heard there was a draft in Detroit.
It's being, totally designed. Oh, what are we going to see?
Well, that's still a little bit TBD. The NFL is, they're a great partner, but they're also interesting to work with, and they're still trying to finalize everything and how the layout is going to be and what's going to happen. We know the main area is going to be in Campus Martius. Exactly what the footprint is still being figured out, but what it will be is a phenomenal event in downtown Detroit for residents all over the city of Detroit and the ability to come down and be a part of this. And Bedrock is going to do everything they can to make sure that the surrounding areas around there have the ability for folks to see screens, even if they can't get right into the main area, so that they can really be a part of it, feel a part of it. And the biggest thing for us was to make sure that we could do it in a manner that would really affect small businesses in the city of Detroit and allow them to benefit from this. And that plan is coming to fruition, so we're excited about that.
The Hudson site will be done 2025. If there's a young person or couple today that's talking to you and say, Mr. Emerson, we're thinking about buying one of those condos, but sell us on downtown Detroit in 2030. What will it be like?
Well, it's interesting when people say, where will you be 5 years from now? I often go to, I go to people, I go, well, look back. I mean, ask yourself where you are today and where you were 5 years ago. Could you have ever seen, could you have imagined that then? So it's hard. It's hard to look into the future. What I will tell you is if you look back at the track record of from 2010 until now and the transformation that has happened in this city, we have people come to this city on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, the folks from Penn State, when they came into town, they were blown away by the walkability of this city. The team and the staff stayed in the Renaissance Center in the Marriott. They could literally walk up St. Antoine and walk to the ballpark and walk around and be involved and be engaged in the city. And, you know, that's not something that you could say 15 years ago. And so where will it be 5 or 6 years from now? We're going to continue to invest. It's going to be one of the best cities to be able to come and live and work and play. And we're going to continue to work on all the things that have to make that happen, including making sure that all the things that are going on in the neighborhoods that we're investing in are going to be continuing to help this city, the entire city.
We're talking to Bill Emerson. If you want to learn more, www.bedrockdetroit.com. Bedrockdetroit.com. In 2005, Dan Gilbert bought the Cavaliers for $375 million. And since that time, we've seen a lot of ads on sporting events for Rocket Mortgage. When we come back, we're going to talk about why this emphasis on sporting events. I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoholm. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crasula, and we're with Bill Emerson, Vice Chairman of Bedrock, currently also President COO of Rocket Companies. Bill, you've been a huge sponsor of college and pro sports and golf.
Mm-hmm.
Why and how has it benefited the Rocket Companies?
So I think you have to take a step back, Jack, and look at the fact that we have been a company that has grown tremendously as a result of marketing in general, right? Dan has always been a marketer. Back to 1993 when we were doing live read at radio ads, back then on Dick Pertin's radio show. He just had a flair for it and a desire to do it. And for us, and the way we built our business, because we weren't feet on the street, marketing had to be a key component of what we did to be able to attract consumers. And so we always had a decent marketing budget. And then as we continued to build the Quicken brand and the Quicken Loans brand and ultimately transform into Rocket Mortgage, our budget was a seriously large budget. The sporting piece of it wasn't that large, but because our overall budget was so large, and because, by the way, Dan bought a basketball team. And Dan is a firm believer in pulling threads through organizations that are in a family of companies. Well, if somebody's name's going to be on the building of a building of a team that he bought in Cleveland, why wouldn't it be his mortgage company, right? Arm's length, the economics, market economics, but going to put somebody else's name on that, or are you going to put, the company that you drive? And so that was where it started. Actually, it started before that. We were a sponsor of the Pistons. And then when Dan bought the team, partnership, ownership, I guess we'll invest it in the team that we own. But that then just, carried forward as part of a budget. Athletics are a lot of eyeballs, right? College sports, a lot of eyeballs. Professional sports, a lot of eyeballs. And golf was a unique thing. We had decided we were going to sponsor a tournament in Washington, D.C. It was a Tiger Woods event. We ran that for 4 years. The fifth year, we came back to sponsor it because they didn't have one. And at the end of that fifth year, we realized that we had an opportunity to move an event to the city of Detroit, which became the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And the only way we were going to do that is if we could find a way to benefit the city of Detroit and the residents of the city of Detroit. And so when we built that and started thinking about it, how would do we make it inclusive? How do we bring people in? How do we bring folks in from all over Detroit? How do we benefit Detroit? And that's turned into our ability to help bridge the digital divide. We didn't realize that Detroit was the least digitally connected city in America. Only 30% of its residents had access to devices or the internet. We needed to change that. And so we started that out with 313 Connect. We started raising money as a result of that through the golf tournament. And now more than 70% of Detroiters have access to the devices and to the technology that make the world go around. And that's in the last 3 years we've been able to accomplish it. So we're going to keep pushing it. We're going to keep driving it. But at the end of the day, most of the stuff that we try to do, we try to tie back into how does it affect the places where we live, work, and play.
As you mentioned, 2019 Rocket Mortgage Golf Classic started at Detroit Golf Course. The first year was a Hallmark kind of movie winner, Nate Lashley. I think he was a qualifier on Monday.
He was.
He had lost his parents, all of that, okay? Then Bryson DeChambeau.
Mm-hmm.
Then Cameron Davis, Tony Finau with his family. And last year,
yep,
your spokesperson, Ricky. Ricky.
Yeah, you
Ricky
couldn't.
You couldn't make it up.
No, there's nothing better than real life, right? The true stories of life are better than anything you could ever make up. And anybody that's followed the tournament, we've been fortunate. We've had some really, really good stories and some really, really good champions. Ricky had a rough 3 or 4 years on the tour, and he had really been playing great golf. And I think all of us deep down inside were hoping that maybe, just maybe, that would be the tournament, right? And when you think about it, you come down 18, and he's got a birdie to make the playoffs, right? And he makes a birdie on 18 and goes back and hits his drive to the right in the rough and puts that thing 10 feet away and makes the putt. I mean, it was a classic story of redemption, an opportunity to win, and you know what? It fits so perfectly to culminate our fifth year of running that tournament to have Ricky be the champion.
Another spokesperson you have is one of the classiest young women I've ever met in my life, Lexi Thompson.
Yeah, Lexi, you know, Lexi's a great golfer, but she's a great human being. And, we've been fortunate to find folks to represent the brand from the sports world that really have, you know, it's a process for us, right? It's got to be the right person. They've got to be able to represent the brand. And they've got to be a good human being. I mean, you know, we've done a little bit of work with a guy that's been around Detroit for a while by the name of Barry Sanders. He's a pretty good dude too. So, you have to be purposeful in these things and make sure you're finding the right spokesperson.
Speaking of being purposeful, for a number of years, you guys had this pool. If you could fill out the correct bracket, you won $1 million, I think.
No, it was $1 billion bracket.
A billion.
It was $1 billion. First time we ever did it, $1 billion bracket.
Mark Blackwell, I'm not sure Jesus even can ever fill out a perfect bracket. How did anybody ever, were they still in play on the last day ever?
No. No, I mean, anybody
who's... How about at the end of the first day?
No. Well, at the end of the first day, yeah, sure. But, anybody who's ever been in a pool, you know the NCAA tournament, your bracket looks pretty ugly after the first round. So it's really, really hard to do. But it was you want to talk about a marketing idea that garnered a lot of attention. Dan was interviewed with Warren Buffett on, I can't remember if it was the Tonight Show. I mean, so it was, it was just one of those things where Dan had the idea. We got it. Let's go try this. Let's go do this. I think it was a great idea. We got a lot of eyeballs off of that one.
And you got a lot of email addresses too. Okay?
Yeah, we got a couple email addresses for sure.
All right. Recently, I've been hearing a lot of ads for Rocket Money. Is this where you give me money?
No, Rocket Money is a company that we bought that was called Truebill. And basically, they were an organization that figured out a way to understand your subscriptions that you had. You'll sign up for things on your phone, and then you'll forget you sign up for them. And so you'll be paying monthly fees, $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month, and you forget about it. So they built an app that allowed you to be able to go out and find those subscriptions and cancel them if you wanted to. And that's how they became a brand called Truebill. And you know, we looked at that and said, this is an earlier, this is a younger demographic that's earlier in the process. It probably fits in nicely with our ecosystem of trying to find consumers that will ultimately want to be homeowners. And so we acquired them a couple of years ago, and they've been doing a great job. As a matter of fact, they're one of the top apps in the App Store in the last couple of weeks because they've done such a nice job of getting out in front and talking to people.
If you want to learn more, www.rocketcompanies.com. We've got to talk about three mutual friends.
Okay.
Matt Cullen.
Yep.
Mark Hollis.
Okay.
Matt Ryzik.
Okay.
Please.
Well, Matt Cullen is anybody who's been around this town for a long time knows. Longtime GM exec, came over to our place for a few years, was involved in a variety of things that were going on with Dan, including casinos and other things. And has always done a nice job of caring about this city and being involved in what's going on. Mark Hollis has been involved with the organization for the past 4 or 5 years. Maybe longer, maybe shorter. I'm not sure. Mark's a great idea guy, has done a phenomenal job for us in all of the things that we do, sports related. Just a real innovative thinker when it comes
marketing
to those kind of things.
He's, at MSU.
He really does. You know, when you think about it as
outdoor
an athletic director.
Outdoor hockey games, right? The basketball games on the aircraft carriers.
Well, that was a combination of Mark Hollis and a guy that used to work for us by the name of Stephen Luigi Piazza. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole story that we don't have time for. And then Matt Ryzik runs Dan's family offices and has been involved with the organization for the past multiple years, and we're glad that he's part of the company.
So, well, Bill Emerson, you've been a major part of the company, and you've also been a major part of the transformation of Detroit. So thank you for all you do. Please keep it up.
Well, thanks for having me, and I love the name of the show because if you want to take a look at anything as possible, take a look at me. Small town in upstate New York and the things I've been able to be fortunate enough to be involved with. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spall.